hold on, let me just count.
Whoop, greetings, 7 second delay fans. Tonight, we celebrate the writer's strike by airing two more interviews that 7 second delay fans conducted with Andy Breckman and myself. Tonight, we bring you part two of Nadia's interview. Nadia's a longtime WFMU listener who's in fourth grade. And then the second half of the hour, we will hear Dan from the UK. But without further ado, so we don't run out of time like we did last week, here is Nadia, part two. Okay.
Nadia, do you really have 46 questions?
43 questions.
Are they all numbered? Are they all numbered on that page?
No.
Can I ask you? I'd like to hear question number 34 next.
Okay, fine. Hold on. Let me just count one.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear 30.
Actually, I'm just going to pick a question from like the last page because that's probably where they are.
Okay.
How old were you when you got your first cell phone? This is a funny one.
Well, now, are you asking me this because you're talking to your parents about getting a cell phone?
No, not necessarily, but I know that you guys were pretty old when you got your first cell phone. So how old were you when you got your first
cell phone? Well, I was in my 40s.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Nadia, do you have a cell phone?
No.
Do you have any friends at school that have cell phones?
All of them, literally.
I know, all of them. If your parents are listening, Nadia's parents, what are their names, Nadia? I forget. What are their names, your parents? Their first names.
Mom and Dad.
Nick and
Nick.
Madeline.
Nick and Madeline, if you're listening to this, for God's sake, every one of her friends has a cell phone. It's just not fair. And she needs the cell phone because if you ever get lost and can't pick her up, she wants to be able to call you. It's a very good safety device, isn't it, Nadia?
Yes, definitely.
And also, all your friends are playing with their other friends. They're making play dates, and you can't be in on that because you don't have a cell phone. They're all calling each other. I know. It's just not fair. It's just not fair. And they have some reasons why you're too young, but I don't think you're too young. Do you, Nadia?
No, I don't.
Okay, my answer to you, when did I get a cell phone? I was exactly your age. Tell your parents.
How is that even possible?
Tell your parents. I'm trying to help you, kid.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to help your argument.
Okay, totally. Yep. You had an iPhone. You had an iPhone when you were 9. Totally.
Exactly your age. And you know how old Ken was? Exactly your age, 9 years old.
Okay, that works.
No, I was really old. I tried to hold off getting a cell phone. I tried to stick with a pager for as long as I could until it just became ridiculous and I had to get a cell phone.
Okay.
But I was also probably in my 40s, late 30s or 40s.
Okay, so now we're just going to move back to the beginning because Andy made me go to question 36. So, what job did you want to do as a kid?
I wanted to be a toy maker, and then I wanted to be an astronaut.
Okay, that's pretty reasonable, yeah.
Andy?
What did I want to do as a kid? What was my dream?
Yeah, what did you want to be as a grown-up?
Well, believe it or not, I remember thinking I could be a Major League Baseball player. And then because I was pretty amazing when I was 4 years old, scooping up balls in the front yard.
Yep.
But then as soon as I got to Little League, I realized I was lacking in what they call talent.
Right. Did they take your scoop away when you got to Little League?
Yeah, I was. It was really sobering. I remember realizing
that's sad.
I don't have any natural ability here. And I better have a plan B. But even though I wasn't very good, I believe it's more realistic a dream than Ken wanting to be an astronaut.
Okay.
So I went right from that. I decided I couldn't be a ball player. So I decided I'd be a professional shoplifter.
Okay.
And okay. I did that for a while.
All right. Next question. What made you want to work in broadcasting or in writing comedy?
Andy, what made you want to?
Well, Ken, what made you go into broadcasting, Ken?
I was really into radio, and I was lucky enough that my high school had a low power radio station. So I just started doing it, and just really fell in love with it.
And I, and Nadia, I can't remember any time in my life, even back when I was your age, when I wasn't thinking about comedy and how jokes are constructed and what would make the pretty girl sitting next to me laugh.
So you were like the class clown at your age?
I was too shy, believe it or not, to really be the class clown. But in my head, in my head, I was the class clown. I would think of funny things to say, but I often was too shy to actually say them.
Okay, so just a shy class clown.
I was a secret. I was what I guess you would call a secret class clown.
Or basically just a rule follower or a not disturber of the class, because if you were a class clown, you would disturb the class. And if you weren't, that means you're just a good student.
The other word for that, the medical term for what I was loser. Loser. Now, Nadia, who is the class clown in your class?
Okay, that's hard. There's a lot of people.
But who's the boy that's always trying to be funny?
Why does it have to be a boy?
Yeah, why does it have to be a boy?
Because that's what boys do. Who's the boy?
It's a girl.
It's a girl? Okay, what's her name?
Mia.
Mia, and is Mia really genuinely funny, or does she just try to be funny, or it's half and half?
It's half and half.
Would you do me a favor? Would you be nice to Mia?
Okay. Sure.
She needs it. She needs it. I feel her pain.
Okay. Yep, totally. Yep, I'm going to do that. Yep.
Okay. Write that down. Be nice to Mia. Did you write it down?
Wait.
But, you know, the only way you can be nice to Mia, Nadia, is if you actually go to school. And the only way to go to school is to stop faking being sick.
I'm not. Okay. I'm probably actually going to go to school tomorrow because I have the state test tomorrow. So, yes.
Oh, anyway. The state test. Oh, you ready? Are you ready for the state test?
Totally. Anyways.
Get a good night's sleep. Bring your pencils.
Yep. Next
question. Hey, you want me to give you a little tip about the state test?
Sure.
Every answer is B.
No, it's not.
Every single one.
No, it's not.
I was reading an article. Yes, I read an article about it. Every answer is B.
Why?
You could finish that test in 2 minutes.
Okay, but then there's the writing part. What do I do about the writing part?
Just write B a lot.
Yeah, just write. Yeah, just write. Just write about bees, bumblebees.
Yeah, if every word begins with B, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Sure. Trust us. We're adults.
Okay, next question. What are you the most proud of in your career?
Wow. What a great question.
That's a very good question. Ken, do you want to go first?
I guess securing WFMU's broadcast license from Uppsala College's bankruptcy.
Okay.
Yep.
Boring. Boring.
How about you, Andy?
To be honest, I was going to say the same thing.
Come on, Andy.
The thing I'm proudest of?
Yeah. Of all your movies and TV shows and writing projects and the toy company?
I guess I did write one when I was working on the Academy Awards. When was that? That was, oh my God, it must be 18, 19 years ago.
Was that when Steve Martin was the host?
Yeah, Steve Martin was hosting. I wrote two jokes for his opening monologue that I thought were just perfectly constructed jokes. And I remember thinking, that's probably as good as I'll ever do.
And did he use them?
Yeah. No, I wrote many jokes, but two of them, most of them he didn't use, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But but I did write two that he used that I was very proud of.
All right. That sounds like a great part of your career. Yes.
It was something I was proud of, if you're asking. And it's certainly more interesting than, I got the license. I filed the legal papers on schedule, and I got the license from Uppsala College.
I actually saw one of the things you made. I saw Monk.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of that show?
It's good. Yeah, it's funny.
Thanks, Nadia. Thanks.
Yeah, Nadia's the target. It's kind of, Nadia's kind of the opposite of the target demographic for monks.
You mean she's under 70?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. She's like way under 70.
Well, maybe Nadia's great-great-grandmother enjoyed smoking.
Okay. All right, now it's the same subject again, but it's what is the least proud thing of your career, or what is the time you've been the most ashamed of in your career?
Oh, my gosh. Answer it.
I don't think anybody's ever asked me that question before, Nadia.
This is actually the best interview I've ever been asked to do.
And my mind just starts racing across different shameful episodes I've had, and there's just so many of them, and I don't know where to begin. Andy, what do you think?
I guess it was, Nadia, when I started writing movies, some people had a list every year of the 10 worst movies of the year. They make that list because some people say, what's the 10 best movies? But other people say, what's the 10 worst movies? And when I started writing movies, I had two movies the same year on that list. Two movies that I wrote. And I think, I don't know for sure, but I think that's a record.
Was it Moving? Was Moving?
Yes.
Moving was one of them.
And then that same year, I had a
Arthur 2.
Yes, Arthur 2.
Moving and Arthur 2. Wow.
And there were worst lists, 10 worst lists. I don't think the person who compiled the list knew the same writer had written both, because if he did, I'm sure that would have been his headline.
Okay, that's very interesting. And I'm sorry about that.
Thank you, Nadia. But you know what? You have to, Ken, wouldn't you agree with this? You have to have struggles and low points in order to persevere and enjoy your successes.
Yes, absolutely.
So Nadia, you're going to have, I'm sure you at school, sometimes you have bad days, right, Nadia?
Yeah.
But you know, they don't last forever, right?
Yeah.
You're sad for a couple of minutes, but then you think tomorrow will be a better day.
Yeah.
Every sunrise is like a reset button. You get to start over.
All right. That's amazing. Yes. I'm going to put that in my quote book.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Every sunrise is like a big yellow reset button.
Why is it yellow?
Because the sun is yellow.
Not always.
But I is a reset. It's a reset button.
But it's the sun. That's the metaphor.
But it should be green because it's like go. Green for go, you know?
Okay.
Reset.
Anyway.
Nadia, help me here.
With the next question, can I help you with the next question?
Yes, the next question.
Okay. Do you ever think about changing your job now?
I want to hear Ken's answer.
No, I don't, actually.
Why not?
There's certainly things that I would like to do again at FMU or again in radio that I haven't done for a really, really long time, especially radio theater and sort of the radio sketch comedy with sound effects and music that I used to do when I was in high school and college.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, it's very time intensive. It's a lot of production.
It is. It's really time intensive.
But you're so busy, Ken. I can't imagine finding out.
I know.
Will you carve out enough time to...
Yeah, we used to meet at the radio station like every other night. And then on top of that, we would be spending so much time writing these things. But that was just so much fun. I really loved doing that. I would love to do that
but
again.
But Kenny, now that your kids are out of the house and grown, maybe it's something you could consider doing. If it's something you really love doing.
Yeah. How about you, Andy?
Yeah, how about you, Andy?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot the question.
Did you ever think of switching jobs now?
You know, I had a TV show on, and it was a lot of work for about 8 or 9 years. And when that show ended, I wanted to try something different. And so I started a toy company. And that was really fun because it was so different. And that might be one of my favorite side jobs I ever had. And so, but now I'm looking forward to just, you know, I'm older than Ken and way, 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 way older than you. And now I want to just maybe take it easy and not work so hard. And I'm building a pickleball court. I'm going to be playing a lot of pickleball.
Okay.
Where are you building this pickleball court? In your backyard?
Yeah.
Well, you know my garage? I have a detached garage.
Yes.
It's behind the garage.
This is the garage where you hoard gasoline and hand sanitizer?
Yes. Now I'm hoarding gasoline, hand sanitizer, and pickleball paddles.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if a wayward pickleball broke through the window of your detached garage and ignited the whole thing.
Oh, that's why I no longer buy those flammable pickleballs.
Oh, that's good.
Those exploding pickleballs.
Yeah. Thank God for the FDA to get those things off the market.
Yeah. I never saw the point of them anyway.
The lives that were lost through the exploding pickleballs and jarts.
Wait, what are jarts?
Jarts? Weren't jarts the lawn darts that were killed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. How did that ever get approved by anyone? How did that slip through? Oh, my God.
Nadia, in the 70s, there was a toy called jarts, which were little spears that had Nerf. Nerf bodies, but at the front of it, though, it was really, really sharp. Like, it could really hurt you. It would go right into your...
kill someone with those.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm sure in very small letters on the box it said, hey, make sure the coast is clear.
So, I guess we have time for a few more questions, Nadia.
Nadia, ask us your very, very favorite questions that are still remaining.
Okay.
Wait, can I say as an aside, and I bet Cam would agree, Nadia, you know what you could really do as a career when you're older?
What?
You could be a really good journalist, because these are great questions, and you're really asking, and they're the best questions we've been asked so far, aren't they, Cam?
Yeah, and you really prepared for the interview by coming up with this great list of questions, so you did a great job.
And you've been asking follow-up questions. You've really been pretending to listen, like a real journalist.
Pretends
to listen.
I'm totally listening, you know.
See how good that is? We really believe you. That's
okay.
How believable you are.
You guys want to hear my favorite question?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, okay. Who would you ask, if not your wife, if you realize you have a tick stuck between your butt cheeks, who would you ask to remove it?
Ken, who would you ask? There was a tick stuck between your butt cheeks.
Yeah. Probably if my son or daughter were available, I feel like it might be worth it to subject them to that kind of horror.
I guess my answer would be if Ken's son or daughter were available, that they would be my first choice.
Why?
So Ken and I are in a complete accord on this question.
Okay.
It would be Harry or Daisy.
Okay. Oh,
I'll warn them.
Yeah, tell them to stand by.
Yeah,
because tick season is coming up.
It is tick season right now. Have you had any ticks?
Ken, I know. Ken, I know you have a real phobia about ticks, don't you?
I do. Nadia, have you had any ticks?
There is actually a question. What's your worst phobia, guys?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Yeah, for me, it might be rats.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Really hate rats. Not mice. I do differentiate between them. They have to be really big for them to become scary.
So, like, big, like, New York City rats?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this because you had a bad experience with rats?
Yeah, I did.
You did what? As a kid or recently?
No, as a young adult living in rat-infested buildings in Manhattan.
Oh, baby. Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I never got bit by one.
What about you, Andy? What's your worst phobia?
Well, it's a great question. I have a lot of, I guess, mild phobias.
What's your worst phobia?
Well, what keeps me up at night is I worry about my kids. When my kids are, like, if they don't call or they're running late, I have all these horrible worst-case scenarios going through my head.
Wow.
I don't even share them. I don't even share them with my wife because they're just horrible.
Okay.
But you know what? What puts me at ease and brings me comfort, and so I don't worry about them as much? All my kids have cell phones. Tell your parents That's why I can sleep at night, because I can call them and make sure they're okay.
And do you do that a lot? Just call them and check, call them up and check on them?
You know what? It's a good question. Sometimes, well, my kids are older now. And sometimes when I'm worried about my kids, you know what I do? I think of other reasons to call them. I don't call them and say, I'm worried about you. I think of a stupid reason, a stupid question to call them. What I'm really doing is checking in on them without them knowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what parents do. Parents raise that to an art form.
Huh. I missed that memo. I think I missed that memo about parenting.
Okay. But maybe you can. Question.
Okay. Go ahead, Nadia.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm the expert you want to consult.
So, these questions are going to be about school, but this one is a yes or no question.
Okay. I think my answer is.
Did you like school? It's a yes or no question.
Oh.
What was the question?
Did you like school?
Oh.
I'm really afraid to answer it because I don't want you to feel badly about
school. No, it's fine. I don't really like school either.
But I don't want to encourage that. So I'm going to, no lying. Oh, you should have said that 20 minutes ago. Can I just pass? Can I yield the rest of my
time? Yeah, go ahead.
Yield the rest of my time to Ken Friedman.
Okay.
I both liked it and hated it at different times and different years, and sometimes even within the same year, different classes. There were definitely years there where I absolutely hated some classes and loved other classes. So, yeah, it was never...
Okay, that sounds like me.
Yeah, it was never...
Okay, I guess I had mixed feelings, too. I hated it and was bored to tears by it. So alternated between those two.
All right, next question.
I was bored because I already knew everything.
I was lucky. I really appreciate the good teachers that I had. The good teachers I had really, really helped me.
Oh, I had some good teachers too. That's right. Good. Okay,
I had good teachers too.
Oh, fine. Yes, I liked having good teachers. Fine.
Okay, next question. What was your favorite subject?
I'll admit to that. Fine.
Favorite subject, like in what grades, I guess?
I mean, I don't know, in the ones you can remember.
Well, what grade are you in, Nadia?
Fourth.
What's your favorite subject?
I don't know. I like recess. And I like lunch.
Yeah, I like recess too. That's what I love about being an adult. Every day is kind of recess.
Okay. What about you, Ken?
I guess I liked my science classes the best in general.
Hey, Nadia, you know what I'm going to put on my tombstone when I die? I just decided.
What?
I'm going to put three words on my tombstone. I liked recess. I think that'd be so great on a tombstone. Because that kind of sums up my philosophy of life.
Tombstone. I mean, yeah. Honestly, why don't you just put R.I.P.?
Ken, what would go on your tombstone?
That's a very good question.
It is a good question. You know what Ken would put on his tombstone?
What? What would I put on my tombstone?
I secured getting the license to my radio station from Uppsala College. That would be on your tombstone.
Yeah, that's correct.
Because you heard him say it, right, Nadia? That's what he's proudest of.
Yep, that's a great quote to put on a tombstone.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what. If Ken dies before me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that on his tombstone.
Yeah, I'll have to make that into an acronym of some sort. So, like INRY. How about INRY?
Okay. INRY. What does that mean?
No, INRY. That's the acronym that's above Jesus's head on Jesus on the cross.
I did. This is new to me.
Really? I think Latin.
What was your least favorite subject?
Well, we just dodged a bullet. Ken was about to teach us Latin.
Yeah. Least favorite subject. Yes. Grammar.
Grammar. Yep.
Grammar.
Math. I didn't like math.
I have a four-way tie for that answer. There were a number of subjects that were not my favorite. Language.
What was your favorite?
Well, probably language or, Spanish I took.
Oh, yeah.
Math. Hey, Nadia, I think I have time for one more question because I have to I have to run.
Okay. Do you guys want to do the game?
Is it a very quick game?
Yeah, there's like only three questions. So, okay. Everyone wants to know which is the smartest between the two of you. So, there are going to be three questions. What's smaller, a pint or a quart? If you went to school and you listened in school, you should know this.
A pint.
A pint or a quart?
Pint or a quart, yes.
A pint.
I believe it's a pint. You know why I believe it's a pint? Because Ken said pint.
Yeah.
Ken is smarter than me, and he said
yes,
pint.
Yes, yes, it's pint because there's two pints in one quart.
Uh-huh. So. I think the answer is two or three pints. There are two or three pints in a quart.
Not for Hawaiian Punch. In Hawaiian Punch, it's two pints to a quart.
Okay, so
that's why I know the
answer. Next question. What is banana phobia?
Fear of bananas.
Yeah, good job. It is that.
I was going to say fear of big words. Okay, what's your last question?
Okay, last one is, what is the goal of life? What's the goal of life?
What is the goal of life? The goal of life, I think, is to have as few regrets when you're on your deathbed as possible.
Okay.
Things you feel bad about at the end of your life.
Technically, the goal of life can be anything, so no matter what you said, both of you would be right. But since Ken said banana phobia and you said fear of big words.
Yeah.
Then Ken would win. So
I knew going into this game that Ken was smarter than me. So that doesn't surprise me. Nadia, I have to run, but I have to say this is the best interview yet.
All right.
It really was, Nadia. Great job. Nadia, I'll send you the tape of it, and I'll also let you know when we're going to broadcast it, all right?
All right.
Oh, Andy disappeared. Yeah. All right. Great job, Nadia. You really did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. That was tonight's first of two interviews. That was with 9-year-old Nadia. And if you like Nadia, you can hear her regular segment on the Wake and Bake program. I believe she's on Friday mornings, every Friday morning at 7:21. Andy Breckman is out of town for 6 weeks. And during his absence, we are airing interviews that fans of the program conducted with me and Andy. And this is the third week out of 6 weeks of listener interviews. The next interview is going to be listener Dan from the UK.
I actually I got into 7 Second Delay about the same time I started listening to WFMU. I can't remember how I got to WFMU. I think it was through UbuWeb. I was listening to cut-up artists and things like People Like Us. Probably it was People Like Us.
Uh-huh.
And I remember because...
Kent, are you familiar with these references that he's
yes.
making?
Yes, I am.
Because it just sounds like gibberish to me.
That's fine.
It does sound like gibberish, yeah. But that's the appeal.
And so you got turned on. And what year? So that was in Cambridge. You're talking to us from Cambridge.
Yeah, that's right. That was actually the funny thing is that's when I just moved down. I was living on my own. My wife was staying. We lived together in Dundee. I moved down to Cambridge for work, and I was kind of lonely. And I remember it was one evening. I turned on WFMU live. I thought, okay, I'm going to listen live, and I heard you and Ken talking, and I remember the line you were like, okay, I think I just lost the will to live. I was like, oh, is it that time? Yeah, it's 6:15. It's the time I lose the will to live. And I was just like, what is this? Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
What's going on?
And like, I became a substitute for your wife who you left behind. Well, I'm proud to have filled that role.
It was a substitute friend in this isolation I was living in. I was like, okay, who are these guys? And the thing that was funny about that was that you were both in on the joke. you were making Ken laugh, and Ken was laughing at you, and then you were laughing because Ken was laughing. And it was like this real genuine connection that I could hear between you. And I, just from that moment, I was hooked.
Making Ken laugh is why I do this. And he's a tough room. He's sometimes a tough laugh. And then what do you, so you came down to Cambridge to work. What kind of work was that?
It's basically computer work. It's called bioinformatics. So computers, biology on computers.
Biology on computers. No, nobody's interested in that.
Nobody's interested.
That's of no use to anyone.
It sounds interesting to me.
Now, biology is meant to be in the swamps. Biology is outdoors. Biology on computers. Well, that makes no sense. What did you do today? What's a typical day when you're working?
Yeah, I mean, today's been quite interesting. I had a few calls. I'm trying to organize a conference, talking to a few people, tried to write up some technical documentation. So how about you? What was your day today? You're away from your family, right?
I am. I'm pulling a Dan. When you leave your wife for an extended time, it's called pulling a Dan.
Yeah.
And I'm out of town for 6 weeks, and this is week two.
Yeah, where are you, Andy?
I'm out of town.
What country are you in, Andy?
In hindsight, I should have been more attentive when I landed. I don't honestly know where I am.
Did they stamp your passport?
Yes. Wait, I'll go get my passport.
Yeah, you can see what they stamped.
Yes. I'm in Canada.
We'll wait. Okay. Oh, in Canada.
Yeah, I'm working in Canada. And Ken, what did you do today?
I just fought with people all day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was one of those days.
What was the conflict? What was the issue?
Well, one of the issues was a roofer who I hired to repair the roof at WFMU.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah. No, it went really wrong.
Wait. You didn't hire a listener, did you?
No.
I
hired a professional roofing company.
Oh, okay then.
And they did a lousy job, and I did something that I almost never do. In fact, this might be the first time I ever went and left a bad online review
for
a company that I dealt with. And man, I was shocked. They called me up within a few hours of me leaving the bad review, begging me to change the bad review to a positive review.
And were they willing to come and fix the job for free?
Yeah, they did. They came back and fixed it a little bit. Not completely, but...
Because only you could change it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that gives you... Oh, so you did have a little leverage there. That's fantastic.
Never imagined that leaving a lousy review for a company on Google Maps... It was on Google Maps. It wasn't even on, Yelp or Annie's.
And then
did you
in fact go back and change or modify the review?
I'm not going to say.
This could be a show concept.
Yeah, actually, it could.
I'm famous for my Google Maps reviews amongst myself. I'm world famous.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
Have you ever left a negative or harsh review, Dan?
I have, and I left it under my real name. But when they checked the customer records to find out who this was, and it was my wife's phone number. And they rang her, and they started giving her a hard time.
Wow.
But so I changed my name now on Google, so they can't trace me.
Well, I would have. If that had happened to me, I would have divorced my wife just to keep it, just to be separated.
Yeah.
And not be responsible for anything that might happen. Honey, you're on your own.
use your wife's phone number.
Yeah,
So Dan, I know you have a big list of questions to ask us tonight. So why don't you get going?
Okay,
I feel like I could talk to you for ages, but I made the list just in case.
Yeah.
One of them was actually about the objective, making Ken laugh.
Yeah.
Now, that seems to be kind of the reason for a lot of shows.
Now that he's not getting high as much, it's really tough.
I get high just as much as I ever did.
Oh, well, then I must be losing my edge.
Yeah, something's wrong with the zingers, I think.
What else, Dan? What else is on your list?
Well, I mean,
you've always wondered.
Things I've always wondered. Yeah, I mean, I know I've heard you actually, I heard an interview with you guys ages ago. You talked about, Andy, you talked about the show finding its voice. It's like a stunt show. And there was a particular episode where it's like, okay, you found your voice. You said it's like a Hollywood term. But in terms of the show structure, that's kind of like, I get what you mean, that there's a certain style to each episode. But in terms of your dynamic, that like you and Ken, that seems to change quite a bit. Like funny man, straight man, you know, Ken often is the straight man, but you've also got like the funny man, funnier man dynamic. And it's like,
we flip a coin before every show.
who's gonna be funny?
Yeah, time? Heads, I'm funny.
I wish we flipped a coin before every show. That would be a real move towards preparation.
Yeah.
We should
one time the coin landed on its edge and it was the best show ever.
That was it.
We actually did a show. We did a show one time of flipping coins the entire hour to see if it was 50-50 heads and tails. And amazingly enough, that was a great show. I thought it was going to be terrible, but that turned into a really great show.
That gives you an idea of how desperate we are for, you know, one of our mandates that we've given ourselves is we do something different every week, even if the odds are against it working. And so the coin flipping show, oh my, we must have been desperate.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, because I did not believe in that one, but it turned out great. Sometimes the stupidest ideas turn out really great.
But what was the pitch like? What were the ideas you rejected in favor of flipping a coin?
What a great, great question.
Why don't you pull up your list of rejected ideas?
I should. I think that week, my one idea was just taking a coin out of my pocket and just putting it on the table and staring at it. And then Ken took that idea and modified it. Ken said, I like the coin part, but we should be flipping it. Let me see.
There's one idea that Andy has pitched over and over again that I have rejected every time, which was the idea is that Andy has to try to go to sleep during the show.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. No, that would be terrible.
I'd bring a little air mattress or something. You could talk. People could call.
You've also pitched the shows I've been listening for too long. Watching live TV and describing on the radio. If you combine those, falling asleep whilst describing TV, something like that.
Well, we once did a show where we watched a 1 hour long movie, I think, and we described the movie. Years ago, we did do a show where we had a bunch of kids in the studio with us, and I think we were all watching TV. And that was one of my least favorite shows of all time.
I don't have enough memory on my computer to list my least favorite shows.
Well, I was going to say, because I've heard you talk about least favorite, but certainly I know some of my favorite shows. I often actually listen, I go to bed and I put the earphones in and lie in bed listening. And
my wife said, what a treat for your wife. To be lying next to a guy listening to me and Ken. That's worse than listening to me and Ken.
Like Jihadist Chicken. It was just so funny.
Wait, what was it?
Jihadist Chicken. I won't even go into it because I don't even want to. You got it was like On Air Chicken, but
On Air Chicken. Oh,
Dead Air Chicken.
Dead Air Chicken. Yeah, how That's long right. we could go without any noise or sound.
Yeah.
Ken will always buckle because he's the boss. He's the station manager.
Yeah.
And Dead Air is the worst thing you could be broadcasting.
But I think I did a lot better than you thought, actually. The one time we actually did play Dead Air Chicken, you became much more uncomfortable than I did.
You're very good. You're you know what it is? That goes to show how competitive you are, naturally. You wouldn't want me to win. But Dan, if you're interested, these are some ideas that I make notes all the time about ideas for shows. And then I run them past Ken and there are some that I always am repitching and re-repitching if you're interested. One is A recent one that I wanted Ken to do is to call people that donated to our show during the marathon and ask them why they didn't donate more. And Ken hated that idea.
Because he has
this notion that we shouldn't be badgering our supporters.
Badgering is a nice way of putting it. I think it's more like harassing them.
I think Ken probably has respect for human beings. That's it.
But he'll outgrow that. And then let me see, some other ideas were, have husbands. Oh, Dan, you could do this. Have husbands or boyfriends call and describe their wife or girlfriend, and it would be a beauty contest.
Makes sense.
And we don't need to see the wives or hear from the wives or talk to them. We trust the boyfriends to be honest.
Yeah, that's really one of the most offensive ideas you've ever come up with.
Well, no, it's the perfect setup.
It might be the most offensive.
Yeah.
Let me see. Get different listeners. Okay. Another one is, if you're interested, you know that song, The Girl Is Mine by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney? Do you know that song, Dan?
I don't know it.
The Doggone Girl Is Mine.
It's a duet between Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. And the girl is trying to choose between Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. I think it's the funniest song ever recorded. I've heard every novelty song ever made. I've been a Captain Demento. Wait, what's his fan? What's his
Dr.
name? Dr. Demento fan for years. But this is the funniest song. It's a girl having to choose between the cute Beatle, Paul McCartney, and Michael Jackson. And I think there's a show there where we can get women to declare their preference.
The cute Jackson. He was the cute Jackson. So it's a pretty fair contest.
So Ken would take Michael or...
The cute
I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know how the mechanics of that show. I don't know. Another show I tried to pitch to Ken is we would get a piece of plywood and some paint, and we'd open the show by painting the plywood, and it would be a Zoom show. We'd be Zooming, and we'd all be literally watching paint dry.
I don't remember you pitching that.
I didn't have the nerve to do it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You do?
Yeah.
I can't see a problem with it.
No, I don't see the problem either.
Oh, man, the roofing company is calling me now.
Yeah, but let's put him on the phone. Come on.
Put him on. Oh, he's gone.
No, come on, Ken, put him on speakerphone. Oh, hello, man. You're on the air. Come on, Ken.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Ken.
Oh, hey, is this Al?
Yeah, hey, man, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to make sure the men took care of you. That's why I'm calling you. I want to keep on top of you. What we did over there good for you?
Yeah, it looks good. It definitely looks good. I'll change my review. What would you like me to say? What should I say in the review? Do you want to tell me exactly what to say in the review? You can dictate what I write in the review.
I don't think that would be technical, though. You know, I think you really just, you know, come from the heart.
Should you?
I've always tried to, you know, solve your problems. I didn't run away. I want to be a stand-up guy.
Okay.
They didn't run away. They didn't run away. They're stand-up guys.
I don't want to disappoint.
Okay.
And you should say in the review that they have six fingers on each hand, and it makes them excellent, even better painters.
All right. Sounds great, Al. I will change the review as soon as I'm done with what I'm in the middle of right now. So it'll be done within half an hour.
You're the man. Thank you so much. All right. No problem.
Thanks, Al. Bye-bye.
Boy, negative reviews. Boy. Yeah,
were you guys able to hear Al?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, okay. That's like putting a loaded gun to somebody's face, a negative review.
I had no idea.
Wow. Yeah. Does anyone have an option to write a review of our show, like publicly?
No, I did. I have two thumbs up in my review with me.
No, we actually have, there's a ton of reviews of our podcast on the Apple iTunes store, Andy.
There is? Oh, yeah. I'd be scared to read it.
Oh, I read them sometimes.
So that I just pasted a review I did of a motorway service station.
And how was their service?
It was funny. There was not enough pet facilities.
Right.
So I mentioned it.
I'm reading from Dan's review. It would be really good if this place had somewhere you could store your pet. Like if you were going on holiday or a long drive or asleep or something like that, if they had pet storage, that would be 5 for 5, no questions. What do you mean 5 for 5?
Five stars.
Five stars, no question. Oh,
Five stars, no question.
You should add another review, Dan, just like now, like a second follow-up. Just say, follow-up, my pet died, so ignore the previous review. No longer applies.
No longer applies. Yeah, I wanted to get the reviewer badge, so I needed to make long reviews.
And then another third review. Wait, he wasn't dead at all. He was just stunned.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Now I need that. Now I need that overnight facility again. Wait. So there are hotels. There are hotels in England that do some of them offer
pet dispensers,
places to put your pet.
Not that I'm aware of, but I really felt, you know, I wrote the review from my heart. I felt they could.
It sounds heartfelt.
Wait, I thought this was a review for a gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wanted.
He wants to get. Wait, you want the gas station to have a facility to hold your pets overnight?
Yeah, or like get a goldfish. Imagine you're going on a
road trip. What the hell are you talking about? It's a gas station.
Well, rest stops
around the United States, Andy. There's oftentimes a pet area.
What are you talking about? You pull into the Exxon and you don't say, gee, I wish there was a place to put my goldfish for the night here.
Yeah, but a lot of gas stations have pet walking areas. They have a little fenced in area because they know that you're on a long drive and you need some gas and you got to let your dog go to the bathroom.
Is that what you're looking for, Dan? A little fenced in area?
Among, you know, other services, pet related services.
With a lifeguard, a pet area with somebody sitting on a very high chair, watching all the animals to make sure they stay under control.
That would be some hell of an Exxon station. Yeah. Pet lifeguard next exit.
Yeah, I don't think Exxon would ever do that. I think you'd have to have one of them mom and pop gas companies like Lukoil. Only they would do that.
Lukoil is the mom and pop gas station franchise?
Yeah, or Gazprom.
This is exactly what I wanted to get into.
Jason's Gas. Have you ever seen them?
No. There's also BP. They're the eco gas. They're the green gas.
Yeah. Do they have a green sign?
Oh, yeah. They're totally covered in green.
Then that's where Beth would go. That's where my wife will spend 8 times more for shampoo if it has a green label.
Yeah. British Petroleum they've marketed themselves as being eco-friendly.
What does that mean? We haven't had a tanker spill in the last 7 years. What does that mean?
Yeah, Exxon has all the tanker spills.
Yeah.
At BP, we plant wildflowers.
If I was going to try to lure Beth, like if I had some bad intention, wanted to lure Beth, you just need a green sign, green paint.
Yeah.
Green sign. Let's workshop this. We can come back to this.
Now, what other questions, Dan? We digressed, and that's my fault.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. It's good stuff. It's not good stuff,
my friend.
It's the topic I wanted to get into, to be honest, gas station.
But
I remember my favorite show was, I think it was called something like Prejudice Hijack. You guys.
Oh,
you
Bigot Ambush.
What was it?
Bigot Ambush.
Bigot Ambush. That was it.
Yeah.
And then you ended up with a black guy on the phone, and he was just bemused because he had obviously no idea of the concept. And
oh, yeah. No matter what he said, I'm sure I said, oh, you're just being anti-Semitic.
No. We had a black guy hiding out on the phone, not talking.
He was just
listening. And then you talked to a white guy and tried to goad him into saying something racist
or even mildly controversial,
right?
And then the black guy would leap out from the third on the third line,
exactly, like in that,
and accuse him,
like in Annie Hall when Marshall McLuhan comes out from behind the poster.
It's every white American's worst nightmare. There's a black guy listening.
Not every American's worst nightmare, but
I've never met anyone that wasn't their worst nightmare.
Quite a few, I guess.
Oh, you're the expert now on their worst nightmares, I suppose. I guess being a station manager at FMU does make you the expert.
The average American. Well, I know you two obviously are very competitive. You've had a lot of shows where you're trying to outcompete each other. But I know there's kind of a quiet competition in the background. You're desperate to outlive each other.
Yes. Yes, we have a $100 bet. I would love to outlive Ken because I have some great ideas for his eulogy.
Right, but I'm dying to outlive Andy because he said that there's some kind of bequest that he's leaving WFMU.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's a condition placed on it, and I will only learn of the condition at his funeral ceremony.
Here's a little hint, Ken. I hope the listeners are fond of Loggins and Messina. There's your hint.
Oh, that's great. Loggins and Messina.
Wouldn't you agree that Messina carried that little band? Loggins was just dead weight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Although I did like the song Kenny Loggins did with Stevie Nicks. That was a great song. Remember that one?
Well, I'm afraid that's not on my list, my Deadpool list.
As I was going to say, Ken, do you plan to kind of dedicate some airtime to Poco and Boss Gags?
You mean if I pass?
Yeah, heaven forbid, but.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If I outlive Andy, I'll definitely play a whole bunch of songs.
Ken, do you think you would cry if you outlived me?
Yeah, I might.
I've been working on crying on cue.
Uh-huh.
Just in case.
Can we see you do
something? Oh, I don't have it down yet, but just in case. You know, I'll have it. By the time you go, I'll have it.
Okay.
No one will know it's not sincere.
You sure? You got it down.
Oh my God. I'm gonna be so convincing.
Well, this is what I was thinking. You could do the station ID, Ken. You could record yourself weeping doing the station ID and just play that every hour. Just 24 hours of Poco.
And why don't we record a eulogy for each other and just have it ready to go?
Haven't we done that?
So, God forbid, if you pass first, you just have to hit play. You could take the day off.
Yeah, it's like the Bob Dylan advanced obituary tape.
I could go to the movies. I'll just have someone there hit play.
All right. Yeah, add this to your list, although I think we may have done it.
May have done it.
Well, if you die now, I'm going to feel really bad. But
where am I going to die?
What if I die in a week? Will you still feel bad? Will you still feel responsible?
Yeah, I feel terrible.
If I die in a week?
You mean if this is your last show? Oh, my God.
What if I died in 3 months? Would you feel that you were responsible then?
No, I guess I'd feel nothing, yeah.
Yeah. So there's the sweet spot somewhere in between a week and 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, so Dan, it's been great talking to you, but do you have one final question maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it was mentioned last week, the energy's going down, guys. You know, the show, you used to kind of commit to ideas. What do you think went wrong? You know, where...
I think I can't speak for Ken, but I know what happened on my case.
Yeah, what happened?
I didn't die. I got old. I'm 60. I'm 68. Maybe Ken and I should alternate weeks where one of us is upbeat and energetic and into it. We should get that coin out again and start flipping it.
Yeah, or at least stand it on its edge to add some tension to the hour.
It's true. There was a period, I think, when it was new, we would do pre-production and record stuff in advance and even rehearse little bits. I don't know, but I think that's not surprising. Like if you look at Letterman in his last few years, you know, on CBS, I think you just get into a groove and it becomes a kind of a different show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to end on a downer. It's a fantastic show. I've been listening to it for.
I have to say, Dan, I've known you for a half hour, and in my opinion, your energy's also gone down.
That's true.
Like the 20-minute mark, you just don't seem to be as into this little interview. Yeah, you lost the will to live. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, 28 minutes ago, you were on top of things. You were dynamic, and you were more engaged. Just an observation.
You're half the Dan you used to be, Dan.
Yeah.
It's true. Let's end it now. No.
This was actually a great interview. This was really fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
And thanks for your support in the past. And it was really great meeting you.
And I'll send you a copy of this tape, and I'll also email you before we air it. It's going to be a couple of weeks before I air it because I'm editing them kind of in order that they came in.
Yeah, to give him time to change his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. divorced my wife. No, I really love the show, guys. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thanks, brother. This was really fun. It really was.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to part 3 out of 6 of the 7 Second Delay listener interview shows, which we are airing while Andy Breckman is in Toronto, on the west side of Toronto, on the movie lot where they're shooting the new Monk movie, if you want to stop by and say hello and pay careful attention to whether Andy's writing. Which he shouldn't be doing because there's a Hollywood writer strike up there. So, bring your camera and hang out outside the movie lot. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Just a quick note, we would like to thank the 4 volunteers who helped us pack up marathon swag today. That was Jody and Clinton and our own Elvis and Robbie. And if you would like to help us do the same, please contact our volunteer director, Scott, at scott@wfmu.org. And another quick note about WFMU land. Our venue, Monty Hall, has reopened, and we are showing a movie this Sunday night. It's a new documentary called What the Hell Happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and it tells the story of Blood, Sweat, and Tears as the first rock band to ever get canceled following their Nixon-sponsored visit to bring the gospel of freedom and rock and roll behind the Iron Curtain. And they performed in Yugoslavia, Romania, and Poland. And then when they came back, everybody hated them as much as you could possibly hate a band. The right wing hated them. The left wing hated them. The hippies hated them. The man hated them. And it was over as quick as it began for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Coming up next, we have Weekly World Blues with Matt Fiveash.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.